Okay, we are going to attempt to read the second chapter. It's a long chapter, so I'm going to get you to settle down a little bit earlier. And if you can read the entire chapter, that would be good. And then look at Numbers 13. And as you look at Numbers 13, see if you can make a comparison between the two texts. Right? On the one hand, the 10 spies. On the other hand, the two spies. And then we want to ask ourselves what lessons we are going to learn along the way. Right? So we still got quite a bit of time before we have the prelude. Just give it a bit of time and read for itself quietly. And then today we have a new chairperson. And, you know, Gabriel, Darryl is going to be there. I knew the brother long before he was born. So, all right. So, Darryl is going to lead us in worship today. All right, let's take the time to read the Lord's Word.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Youth Worship. I think before we begin, let's open this time with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for seeing us through the week. Thank you for bringing us back into your house today to worship you and to learn from you. May you please prepare our hearts to be good ground to receive your word today. And may you find the worship that we offer to you acceptable in your sight. Just want to especially pray for Pastor as he brings us a word later to continue to strengthen him, continue to be his God of hope and joy. And we just commit this time into your hands. In the Lord's most precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Okay. Hi, everybody, again. I'm Darryl, not Gabriel. Gabriel is in Perth, currently worshipping at Bethel. So, yeah, I go by different names so far. It's been Disciple Pastor Darryl, DP Darryl, DPD. as long as you remember the Disciple before Pastor, I think it's okay. Yeah, because it's always disciple first. So yeah, just I'm up here today to lead in a time of worship, and it's really, really my joy and privilege to be able to do so, especially after Bethany's 50+3 anniversary. So the theme for today's this month's chairing, it's really just looking back at the 53 years of Bethany, being so grateful for it, being so thankful for it, and also looking at the 50+4 year. So looking at the next year of ministry, what is there to look forward to as we begin this new year? So looking back at 53 years, I'm just so grateful to have grown up in Bethany, to have had Bethany be such a big part of my life. You know, from young, growing up through different Sunday school classes, through junior camps, through youth conferences, through the different YPGs and now YEGs. It's really been a privilege to be part of Bethany. And all the Sunday school teachers, all the pastors have played such a pivotal part in my life to where I am today. Even when I wasn't the best student or the best attendant at Bethany itself, God's grace and God's tender mercies has really been so real in my life. And I can't help but thank God for it. So in the recently concluded pulpit theme, we learned about the life of Caleb. We learned about Caleb in Joshua 14, verse 10, and how it says that, and now behold, the Lord has kept me these 45 years. So the key word in this verse that really stood out to me was the way that Joshua used the word behold. It was very intentional, and it was meant to drastically highlight just how grateful, just how genuinely grateful he was to God for having kept him alive these 45 years. And you know, looking back at Bethany and the 50+3 years that we just celebrated, it's really, really something that I'm so grateful for God having graciously kept us alive, for graciously preserving us, protecting us, and even bringing us back here today to worship Him at Youth Worship. It's something that I'm so grateful for. And today, our first song that I would really like to sing with you guys, it's called How Can I Keep From Singing. It's a song that I heard that you guys are really confident in singing. And but more importantly, it's a sentiment behind it. After reflecting, after looking back at 50+3 years, and just looking back at my own experience in Bethany, it's really my response and it's really my thought that I have in my head. After all, everything that I've experienced and been through and been the recipient of, how can I keep from singing praises to God? And may you please just join me in singing this song, and let's just let's take some time to pause, reflect, and to really thank God for how He has kept us and how He has seen us through so many years and so many different challenges in our own lives. Thank you so much, musicians, for your hard work and for your AV team for your weekly support. And thank you so much for your wonderful singing. It's truly a privilege to stand up here and to listen to everybody and to worship alongside all of you. So as we look on to the 50+4 year, I'd just like to take some time to share a little lesson that's really been on my heart and graciously taught to me by the Lord. So it comes from Mark chapter 4, verse 26 to 29, and it's a parable of the sower. So many of y'all might be familiar with this parable. It's a very short parable, but it holds so much truth that I've been trying to learn and still trying to learn till today. So in the parable of the growing seed, the Lord Jesus says that a man scatters a seed and it grows, but the man should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, and after that, the full grain in the head. So this parable was very real to me. And to be very honest with you, as I begin training this year, a lot of fears, insecurities, inadequacies has really came up in the form of things that I do not know and in the form of things that I've yet to learn and how much I have to learn during this time of training. And just to share with you guys my experience so far, after finding out 3 weeks ago that I'll be with Pastor Eugene at YPG1 and relating to the Sec 1 to Sec 3s, I dived deep into what they were studying at YPG1. I thought that was the way to go. They were studying 1 John, and being towards the end of the year, they were already at chapter 5. So I thought in my own human thinking that I could read up on 1 John to catch up, to really be part of the YPG itself. But I had to learn the hard way. And thank God for this lesson that he had taught me. So the next day, I got hit by a fever, and I had a fever of 39 degrees. And immediately, just on the second day of my unofficial start at work, I had to take a sick day. And yeah, and I was given, I was told about it, yeah, by the other pastors, to really pace myself and to really humbly learn that, you know, just as a parable of the growing seed, that it's never something that we can do by ourselves. It's always something that the Lord must cultivate, the Lord must grow. And the whole process of it is the automatic process. It's not for us to kind of do in any secular or in any human way that we think it's possible. Yeah, and that's a very real lesson that I keep coming back to. No matter how much I think I've learned this lesson, it's very easy to always come back to it time and time again, you know. Am I relying on the Lord? Or am I trying to force my own way, my own standard of things? And time and time again, I'm reminded that the answer is always to surrender to the Lord and to wait on His perfect timing and His growth, His change that will be done in His time only. So that's a little lesson that I just wanted to share. And thanks so much for listening to me. And I would like to share the last song with you. It's entitled Little by Little. It's a very simple song. And it's a children's song that you might be familiar with. But the truths behind it are so true. And it's something that I really treasure. You know, any change, any pieces of truth or revelation that the Lord would graciously show to me, I want to just cling on to that. And to just grow little by little, you know, not worrying about how much or how fast I have to catch up on or to learn, but really just thanking God for any change at all that He would provide in my life, you know, that He would change me from somebody that I used to be to just little by little, making me into something that only He can do and only He can change. So please join me in singing the second song, Little by Little.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today, we will be reading from Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 to 24. In this passage, Joshua sends two spies to the land of Canaan. They were hidden by Rahab, and in return, the spies promised to spare the lives of her and her family. Today, we will be trying something different. We would like to invite everyone to join us in reading selected verses in this chapter. These verses reflect the responses of the spies. You may note these verses down, verses 14, 17 to 20, and verse 24. Maybe I'll say, yes, it's on the screen as well. Do join us in reading aloud when we come to these verses. Joshua chapter 2. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, "Go, view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country." So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country."
Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from." And it happened, as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them.
But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the man pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the forts. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate.
Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Now let's read verse 14 together.
So the men answered her, our lives for yours, if none of you tell this business of ours. And it shall be, when the Lord has given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you.
Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall. And she said to them, get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go your way. Verse 17.
So the man said to her, we will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own home. So it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if a hand is laid on him. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath, which you made us swear.
Then she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet cord in the window.
They departed and went to the mountain and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers returned. The pursuers sought them all along the way, but did not find them. So the two men returned, descended from the mountain, and crossed over. And they came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all that had befallen them. Verse 24.
And they said to Joshua, truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us.
Thank you, everyone.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back to Youth Worship. Thank you, Disciple Pastor Daryl, for leading us in time of worship. And thank you, Ted and Beth, for this, for leading us in scripture reading. I hope you enjoyed reading together. It was really nice to hear the chorus of voices reading the selected verses. Well, this afternoon, it is my joy and privilege to offer an intercessory prayer. And we begin our 50 plus 4 year as a church this week. We have seen the Lord's blessings and goodness to us these past 53 years. And there's truly much to be grateful and to be thankful for. Now, as we enter this new year of ministry, what is it that we should pray for? Well, my thoughts are drawn from Pastor's message to us at our anniversary service last Sunday. And at service, he shared about the powerful vision that he and the older generation had come to find on what it means to have faith, to be faithful to God, and what it means to be God's kind of church. This was a vision that they had learned to make personal. They believed in it. They gave themselves and did their part to build the church despite all the challenges. And today, what we have here after 53 years is a testimony to the profound effect of this vision coming to life. The challenge very much is for us to catch this vision as well. As the next generation, can we catch this vision of what it means to live our life by faith, to be faithful to God, and to count the cost to build up Bethany further? It is only when this vision becomes personally ours to own, for us to live out, that we can see Bethany scaling new heights, new mountains, and to grow further in the years to come. And so my prayer for us this afternoon is very much this, that the Lord will help us to catch this powerful vision that the past generations have caught, to make it personal in our own life, that we can take Bethany forward by faith in the years to come. Let us go to God in prayer. Our Father, we come before you to thank you for all your blessings upon our church these past 53 years. We thank you for the example of Pastor and the older generations of how they have caught this vision, how they have believed in it, made it personal, and gave their lives for it. And today, what we see around us is a testament to the faith that they had come to find in you, your word, and in your vision. Father, we pray that as we look ahead as the next generation, that you help us to catch this vision for ourselves, to make this personal in our own life, that we may learn what it means to walk by faith and not by sight, to continue to give ourselves to grow and to build up Bethany, that we may see Bethany growing further in the years to come. We pray and ask for your blessing. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, if you don't mind, if you can hear, if you cannot hear, you raise your hand and then I'll take off my mask. I am putting this on for a couple of reasons. Because of one serious health condition, I actually feel the haze very badly. That's the first problem. Been tearing eyes, quite affected by this. Then secondly, of course, I'm just concerned because next week I have to travel over to Perth. So I'm going to try to keep as healthy and as well as I possibly can. Having taken heed to this, I ask myself what lessons I'm learning. So I've got to take a graver approach than I am taking right now. So I'm going to take a look with you in Joshua chapter 2 with you. Just read it. Now, having read it doesn't mean you understand it. Right? So what are lessons are we going to learn? And the best way to learn is to look at the comparison right now. So we're going to bear in mind Numbers 13. So if you can keep one finger, Numbers 13, and then one finger over in Joshua 2, and we'll make a comparison. And then we ask ourselves, what lessons are we learning along the way as we make the comparisons? Right? So first, the first thing that strikes us must be 12, verses 2. Right? So now the whole team, literally, it's a ratio 1 to 6 right now, and we are looking at, that's it. How come? So there is a great reduction of number. So what lessons are we learning? Seriously. You know, was it wrong to have a big number? No. Because the Lord said, listen, you all can get involved. One tribe, one tribal leader, 12 tribes, 12 people. Not a problem, not quantity by itself. Right? Because the Lord gave the number. Moses agreed with the people. The people said, yes, we're all good to go. So 12. Don't find fault with the Lord's numbers. That within quality, within quantity, there must be quality. Right? There is perceived quality in the 12. The actual quality is a different story. Right? So now we take a look at quality versus quantity. And the choice, obviously, quality. It's not a number of people you need to have that will accomplish a mission properly. If you don't have quality within quantity, then choose quality above quantity. That is the first obvious lesson we learn. So all the time when I look at the work of the Lord, I guess I've been very affected by all of these things. Quantity is not wrong. But if there isn't that quality that you look for, quantity by itself can become a problem. And that's important. Right? So we want to bear this in mind. Okay, now what quality? Question, what quality? Right? So we don't know what the quality is until you actually see it. What quality? They're not specified, or are they? So you could look very carefully. Right? So we read Numbers 13. And they gave the children a bad report. Why? He said, the land we've gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. Is that true? If it devours its inhabitants, then how come there are people there? That's nonsense. If the land devours itself, the inhabitants, therefore, technically, there shouldn't be anyone there. Right? The land devours its inhabitants. That's a crazy report. Go on further. He went on. Okay? And then, and all the people whom we saw, all the people, a man of great stature, all, are you serious? All, everyone? Come on. That's the terrible exaggeration if you're looking at it. Right? They went on further. And we saw the giants, the descendants there, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. Right? Now, watch this very carefully and see what happens on the other side. Is that true? Now, we'll read about that later on. But is that really true? And you begin to realize what we're talking about. Instead of faith, there was fear. When you send people in who are fearful like that, how are you going to conquer the land? So obviously, quality has to be chosen, right? They must have this quality inside them, right? Two, they must also have that faith inside them. If you don't have the both, you're going to send out 2 spies, same problem will come up. It's not a number, right? So if you don't have the quality in their character, in their life, and they don't have the quality of faith that is there, you've got nothing much. So we compare 13 and 2. And we see the difference very, very, very significantly. All right, now let's take a look at Joshua chapter 2. And they were sent out. And we're going to look at these things here. Right? So what was the land there all about? Go view the land, chapter 2, verse 1, especially Jericho. Now, obviously, wisdom on the part of Joshua. Right? That's definitely. Now, if you're going to view a Two spies. Rahab can hide two spies. How is she going to hide 10 more? I mean, seriously. See, the wisdom part of it, you've got to learn along the way. Right? When you want to spy a big piece of land, yeah, you need a lot of spies. You only told one small city, you 10. Where are you going to hide the 10? Now, obviously, there has to be wisdom there to be given. And then, so they went out and see. Now, watch what happens. So they're going to be sent out to a land that is going to be obviously hostile. Right? And you go on land, and you go down there, and you'll be friendly to everybody. You've got to be kidding, right? Friendly spies. Now, we talk about friendly skies, yes. But friendly spies, you got to be kidding. You really got to keep your wits about you how to go and spy out the land. Right? So there we go. And they, and the king of Jericho and sent up people there. They were already on the alert, looking out for spies. Maybe you can have two people who may look like the people there, but you have 10 of them. Right? This illegal assembly. Right? So you have a whole group of people like that, and straight away you know you'll be in serious trouble. You can spot them a mile away. 12 of them, they don't know our language, they talk in Hebrew. You can't escape them. So wisdom, that we've got to go. But they will have to be strong and very courageous, obviously. They would be qualities that, you know, you can pick out. And these guys are discerning, wise, strong, courageous, right? And they're going to be there to be sent out. Okay, so now we go on further and we take a look. Now, here comes a very interesting story. And that story has to do with Rahab. So, what's the story all about? And some people objected in saying, you know, Rahab was a harlot. Is that a point? Seriously? Oh, no, no, she had a tavern. What are you talking about? You think that's a serious problem? See, a lot of people get caught up with small little things like that and they really miss the point. What was the point? What's the point of Rahab's story, by the way? Did you find out what that story was? Beth, what was the story behind Rahab? It's just a story, eh? What's the story of Joshua chapter 2? And we think the story is just simply destruction. After all, you're going to conquer the people, right? We missed the point. Destruction was not the only thing that was there. Deliverance was the point of the story. Right? And this is what a lot of people miss out. You think really the Lord is interested in destroying people? No. Why were they going to be destroyed? Because look at what they are like. They are wicked, they are evil, they do bad things. There came a time when judgment will have to be meted out. But is it only 100% destruction? The answer is no. This is a story that tells us that God was also a God of deliverance and of salvation. We miss the point a lot of times when we read Joshua chapter 2. We don't realize that, you know, God has His, He knows those who are His. Right? We read in the New Testament, right? We're talking about those who are going to seek Him will find Him. We're talking about those who turn to the Lord. Is that true? Right? How do we know that Rahab had that faith? How do we know that? Well, let's take a look very carefully. Chapter 2 now. Okay? Now, this is important. Okay, and despite the fact that she lied, I mean, there's no question. Did she lie? Yes. Right, but you know, lying among the Canaanites is just common. Everybody lies. That's why the Lord is going to end up judging them. How many lies have you told? Oh, I only told 1,000,000 lies. maybe slightly less. You know, it's a way of life there. So please, that's not a point. The point is, listen to what she says. Before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, right? So sometimes you ask yourself, where when she told a lie and she said, you know, I did not know where they were from, and then the gate was being shut and told a story. Now, if she had told them, if I tell you the upstairs in the roof, would you go? It's both of them seem, which one more plausible? So she told a fib. But that's not the point, right? All have sinned. All come short of the glory of God. All don't deserve salvation. But watch what she says next. Right? And so she said, I know the Lord has given you the land. She took the trouble to learn the name of the God of Israel. And she calls him the Lord. I know the Lord has given you the land. Right? That's an amazing thing. Okay? Number two, the terror of you has fallen on us. All the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. Numbers 13, what did the 10 spies say? All the inhabitants, right? They are tall, they are big, and so on and so forth. This is the exact opposite. Now, this was her knowledge of God and of the people there, right? Now, this is important there. The whole land faint-hearted because of you. Well, how do we know? We heard the Lord has dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. And what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. When we heard these things, as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. This was her knowledge and her faith in God. You see? So would it be correct to say all inhabitants must be destroyed? No. If there were some who found faith in God, would they be saved? Yes. Joshua 2 is a reminder to Joshua and to everybody else, it is not always destruction. Right? Now, if the people were to repent, if the people were to return to God, if people were to really be sincere about it, will they be saved? Yes. Now, reread chapter 2 again, okay? When you go back. And read the story of deliverance and not destruction. Right? Now, this is a very, very vital thing to say. Now, here we go. Right? So, then she made a request. Okay? Therefore, I beg you. No demand, I beg you. Swear to me by the Lord, asking for an oath. Since I've shown you kindness, you also will show kindness to my father's house. All right? Give me a true token. Spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, a very big family. Right? So there we go. And then we go. And then they have it and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. This is seeking deliverance. This is seeking salvation. And so when we read Joshua and we keep on thinking there's all destruction left, right, center, we would have read it completely wrong. Right? It is also about deliverance and salvation. And that is something that we want to think about very much. Now, the question is, how to respond to this? How to respond? Do I say yes or no? If I say no, you're going to be destroyed. God has made up his mind. You're going to be destroyed. Sorry, to the back. Okay, then I'll call the men back. Hey, guys, come back. That would be a problem. Right? So how do you go about doing this? Now, remember, they were men of quality now. They wanted to be strong. They would be full of courage. Right? They would have learned along the way. What do they need? Well, one of the prayers for Daryl was for discernment. then you will need to find discernment. Right? If you go on, I mean, there are many, many things that are to be literally done when you are on the scene, and on the ground, there and then, you decide. The Lord will give that discernment and the decision to be made. And watch this very carefully and see how the man answered her. Okay? Here's how it works. Our lives for yours. Right? Our lives for yours. If none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be when the Lord has given us this land, we will deal kindly and truly with you. Now, is that a fair deal? Yes. Now, this is very important. Now, how do you know that she won't turn around, make up, you know, change her mind and call another group of soldiers? You don't. So it goes both ways. You ask us to spare our lives, fine. You must make sure that what we have said, what you promised will go through. Fair, both sides. Right? Now, discernment is needed. Now, this is very important. Right? So then we go on. The man said to her, further, verse 17, okay, we will be blameless of this oath of yours which you have made us swear. Now, watch this. He did not say this oath of ours, but oath of yours. You made this oath. We agree to this oath. On this clause, you spare our lives, we spare yours. That is discernment. Right? So that's why we call quality, not quantity. Right? The reasoning of the ten were the same. We call it herd mentality. One says, the rest follow. The discernment was just not there. Right? And so this is important for us to understand. And so he said, okay, unless when we come into the house, okay, into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the windows through which you let us down, and unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, your father's household to your own home, right? Whoever it shall be, whoever goes out of the doors of your house into the streets, his blood shall be on his own head. We will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in this house, his blood shall be on head of a hand is laid on him. Or be, it's very important, on our head. Both ways, okay? First, it's not our duty to bring your father, mother, I don't know who your father, your mother is, your brothers, your sisters. What if they disagree? Hey, your responsibility, right? Not ours. Right? It must be inside the house, right? So you don't stick out, oh, I need a little bit of fresh air. Where can I get out? No bargains, just very, very strictly, let's agree on this. See the discernment that's there, right? So when we talk about this whole idea of quality, we mean it. We got to find those qualities which are there, right? You need to be strong, you need to be very courageous, obviously, but Joshua had to learn, right? Along the way, over the years with Moses, wisdom, discernment, again and again. Now, they will come into place now. You look for two people, and you look for two people who are the same, who share the same spirit. Because if you don't see that kind of thing here, what would you have? No point. Two people can disagree also. Right? Now, this can happen. And so, very, very wisely, they said all these things. And so, she said, according to your words, so be it. And there is another vital lesson learned. You see the comparison? Right? So then we take on why two instead of ten. Then you begin to reason why. Finding two people of the kind of quality of intellect, of faith, of fervor, of discernment, believe me, not easy to find them. Right? And a lot of people think that I've got all the quality we need. Think again, when you are actually tested on the spot, that you will actually then be seen. The Lord Jesus likes to test his disciples again and again, always unexpected. He will spring them a surprise. Right? On the boat, he goes to sneeze, he goes to nap, and then the storm hits. How would you respond? Oh, fear comes true. Right? So he allows a crowd of 5,000 people coming in. Okay, feed the people. What? Feed the people. Fail again. All the time, surprise tests. He's not going to tell them, next week you'll test. Then you can prepare for it. The tests of the Lord, never, never prepared ahead of time, on the spot. This is what they were learning. Surprise quiz. What would you do? Right? Now, you take a look at the two spies and the 10. Did the 10 encounter anyone who approached them? No. Was there a situation where people were chasing them? No. And yet, the people are so tall, the cities are so fortified, the land eats its own inhabitants. What rubbish. Right? This was not, oh, by the way, passing test. It's always a surprise test. And they failed it completely, everyone. This was not faith. This was not discernment on their part. But the two spies came back up, and this is what they said. Right? So they departed, went to the mountain, stayed there 3 days until the pursuers returned. Pursuers sought them all along the way, but did not find them. Right? And I said, okay, I've done my duty. These guards are just as dummy as the other 10. Right? I mean, if you know that they are really known spies, how would you just, after 2 or 3 days, you know? Right? Nepal flood, 9 days later, they're still searching. Right? You can have 3 days enough. Then a lot more people would have died. Come on, work at it until how long? Until you realize that, you know, how long can a person live without water or nutrition? Can you still survive after 9 days? Yes. How many more days? Don't know. They will probably try for 14, 15 days or 3 weeks, after which you realize it's really impossible from that onwards. Right? But after 3 days, that's it. Right? So this is how it works. And it didn't turn out very well for them. So again, we compare all the time. All right? And then they return to Joshua. And look at what they said to him. Look at Numbers 13. Right? And so we read. They said to Joshua, truly the Lord. Wow. You look at the confidence and the faith in the Lord now. Right? Now, if Moses said the Lord, no problem. He's been speaking the Lord's name for 40 years. Joshua has been following him 40 years. Right? Now, watch this. If they don't have this kind of faith, then the faith of Rahab will shame them. Right? What did they hear? Only stories about how Moses was the one who defeated Sihon and Og, east of Jordan, before the Jordan. Right? And how it dried up the Red Sea for them. This was the faith of Rahab. How are these two spies going to have a lesser faith? They were belonging to the next generation. They were spared, their lives were spared, right? Maybe this was the fear of the fathers, but not the fear of this new generation. Faith. If Rahab, a newbie, can have such faith, would they have less? Should they have less? And the answer is obviously no. Right? And so these two spies came up. The Lord has delivered. Wait a minute. Not done yet. They have even fought yet. But the Lord has delivered. Such was their faith. This was fervent faith. This was full faith. See? Quality. Not just simply say, I have faith. Quality of faith right here. Right? And this is important. That's where our challenge is. You are the next generation Right? If you want to come for next year's family camp, if you can come, I would like to involve you in a very special way. Hopefully you will catch a spirit of what it was like when Bethany was growing up. Be there. Learn. Be part of. Be involved. Catch the spirit of faith. Catch the fervor of faith. Catch this faith that we are seeing right here. The Lord has delivered all the land into our hands. Even though it's not, they haven't fought the first battle yet. The Lord has done it already. Amazing faith. This is the kind of fullness of faith that these two men had that the other 10 didn't have. Right? So think about this very carefully. Right? Indeed, where all the inhabitants, indeed all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted. Where did we quote from? Rahab. That's what Rahab said. And they knew that she was right. Right? Now, whether she is a prostitute, whether she had a tavern, is really besides the point. Right? Whether the men were wicked and they were evil and they were doing all sorts of bad things, they're all bad. But the book of Joshua is not only about conquest. It's about kindness. It's about understanding. It's about helping to see whether there are people who are truly repentant and they can be saved. And if we can save, we save. That's what it's all about. And so sometimes when we read Joshua and we read it wrongly, we end up with all the wrong understanding of the chapter. And we need to ask ourselves what we are reading. What are we learning from all of these things here? And this is important. So then they came right back. Right? Now, this is something that we need to... So then, of course, we leave the third chapter to the next speaker and see whether you can discover all these wonderful things too. And that would be a real challenge to consider all the time. So when we read Joshua chapter 2, we ask ourselves, and a summary of all the things here, what is it that we need to learn from all of these things as we compare text with text? And we ask ourselves seriously, how do we understand all of these things here? Right? So this is important for us to look at. So you want to see the Lord's hand involved. Now the most important is to see the Lord's hand involved in every single thing. Right? So before we talk about the conquest of the land, what has the Lord done? Remember, the incident of crossing the Red Sea was over 40 years ago. It was the preparation to conquer the land was done then. Right? The conquest of Sihon and Og, they were the powerful enemies. They were the two giants who were very famous in those days. Right? You think God was not there? The Lord was already preparing the way. He said, I will send a hornet. I will prepare the land. The fear of you will be upon the people. This was the Lord's plan all the way. But it would take faith and discernment to catch that plan. Not very many caught that plan. So when, you know, seriously, in all your work and all your studies, I wish you would understand this. If you realize that God is there with you, He knows what you're going through, He plans ahead of you, why are you so scared? Why are you so fearful? You shouldn't be. Just go right ahead. I mean, seriously, when you take a look at all of these things, and you just learn how to trust the Lord. Even though there's sometimes a little bit of mishaps here and there, you know, I have a good, good part of people who are very good. They extract blood very, very easily. But from time to time, one person will come and say, I'm so sorry, sir, it doesn't work. Can I try another side? I say, okay, try another side. And then after the two times, they say, sorry, sir, it's still not coming through. You got no blood. What do you mean you got no blood? I've got all the blood. Can I bring my senior? I say, yeah, please. Thank you very much. And then she apologized. I said, it's all right. Don't worry. The Lord's here with me. Don't worry. right? And then finally, third time, I was so relieved. So what happened? Does it happen? Oh, yes, even with senior ones. So sometimes you're going to see in all of these things, you know, I like to see the Lord's hand involved there. Right? So this is important. When Caleb said, the Lord spared my life. You know, I begin to understand this in a fresh new way. Here is a young man, full of health, looks good, 37 years old, half my age and less. And he just passed on. The Lord spared my life. Now you begin to understand. The Lord's hand is involved in all of these things. All the way, the preparation part of it, all the things that needs to be done, they all had to be done first. It's not the spying of the land that's going to help. Remember, if the Lord had not done his part earlier, you won't have today. You won't have the future. It's the Lord's hand in all these things. Can you see the Lord's hand? It takes faith. It takes discernment to see the Lord's hand. We keep on not seeing the Lord's hand. We keep on trying to think of our own and reason it out and figure it out. Stop. Try faith. Try discernment instead. And there you see the Lord's hand. Right? I mean, seriously, this is really unexpected help. Where would they get such help from? And the person who gives the help, you despise because he's a prostitute. What is your problem? Seriously, what is your problem? She's a Devon. What is your problem? Right? Now, sometimes we have to realize that God does things that in ways that we just cannot understand. Right? He's not going to tell, oh, this one's a good... No, he's going to... Listen, this one appears to be on a bad side, you know, and then so and so forth. But wait a minute. God is going to send help. Why are you trying to find fault with the help that God is sending? Out of nowhere, here comes one person. You think they got hotel, Holiday Inn there? Can I make a booking? There were no Holiday Inns there. Where would you go and find a place to rest? Go ahead, tell me where. You think, hello, can I stay here? Hey, you don't even speak our language. Get out. They are not friendly people. This is a walled city. Where can you go? Right? And if you can find any place, anyone who will open up a home to you, listen, even if your bed is a bed of straw, take it. Yeah, but you don't have Dunlop pillow. Yeah. Where's my blanket? Where's my supper? Where's my whatever you want, matcha? Look, this is what God gave. Can you please understand it with faith and discernment and say, thank you. And then they finally came back and they realized it was the Lord's hand. The Lord has delivered. Before it is done, it's already done. The Lord was there. Right? You think the Lord will make, oh, I think I'll make your eye. Oops, I should actually have another eye. It was planned from the very first day within the, you know, that little organism that you have. It's everything you could possibly need. That is God's hand involved in every sense of the word. You know, if you can have these things here, then you have a quality of faith and of character and of life. Two spies are all that needed. Not 10 or 12. Because if you have such unmatched quality of faith and of life and of trust in the Lord, that's all you need. And that's what we have. That's where our new challenge is. And this is where I'm asking you, urging you, young people, you know, cultivate a knowledge that will lead you to find faith in God so that whatever you are going through, whatever you are studying, whatever the future may be, you know what? You have a quality of faith and understanding and discernment that says, you know what? In the Lord, I can do this. Then you go and study with confidence, not with grumbling and complaining, why so hard? So it's not the difficulties. It's just simply inside you, your faith and the quality of discernment that you can have. And if you can have that, it will be there. It's something that you, So when I finally had a renal physician assigned to me, I was very surprised, because I found that he was a part-time pastor. Oh, really? That was amazing. So now he's looking after me as a pastor. But he understands, he gets to speak. He's a licensed preacher. That's amazing. So he says, you know, I will look up to you. And it's just amazing. I didn't know all of these things here. But there was the Lord's plan. There was the Lord's provision. There was the Lord's everything here. So with faith and greater understanding and discernment, you look backwards. And you can say, if this is what it was like in the past, what of the future should be the same? The Lord's hand, right? The Lord's involvement. The Lord, every single thing. If only we can trust in the Lord like this, then all the things in your life won't be such a pain to you. You make wrong decisions, you make wrong whatever it is, and then I suffer for it. Why? Why do we involve the Lord in the first place, right from the beginning? And then we will see the Lord's hand. Right? And the Lord's way is always perfect. And this is what they were discovering afresh. So that's how we want to read Joshua 2, compare it with Numbers 13. Then we don't have a 40-year long waiting period before the next chapter, before the next book. That's a crazy way to write a book, 40 years later. Don't. Let's look at writing a faith book based upon all these things here. Right? So there are many, many lessons to learn along the way. Well, may this be sufficient to challenge us to learn to have knowledge that brings us forth the kind of faith that we all badly need. Think about this. Well, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the wonderful God that you are. You are that wonderful God who goes before us to check out the land, to prepare and secure a place. And there you are a God who fights for your people too. These are wonderful truths that very often we read about, but we don't know how to apply. Give us this kind of faith that will enable us to see beyond the hardship, beyond the tedium of life, beyond the challenges, beyond the problems, to know that you are there, going ahead of us, choosing the land for us, giving to us that inheritance in life. Help us to find this kind of faith and this kind of discernment that comes with this kind of faith. We ask you to bless in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, just wishing you a wonderful beginning of the 54th year. Find faith, find discernment. Let's attempt great things for the Lord. Right? Just to remember, Bethel will begin a huge building project, and they hope to complete it by next year. But literally, seriously, pray very much for Bethel's project. And lots of things to think about, and we are looking forward to greater things for them in the years ahead of us. Right? Faith, discernment, quality. Let this be there. Right? Have a wonderful weekend and a wonderful year ahead of us.